Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Hope you had a restful and a blessed weekend. I want to continue today to talk about a theme that I spoke about last week, really talking about the apostles and the central proclamation of the early church was summarized in the phrase, Jesus Christ is Lord. Began to talk about it last week and what that means. And it's so central, it's foundational, it's the heart of the good news. And it's key to understanding what it means when people say, knowing Jesus Christ in a personal way, as a personal Savior. Sometimes people say that sounds very Protestant. They do use the terminology, but Catholics also understand it as that Jesus is the central figure, obviously, and he's the one to whom, through whom salvation is offered to the world. And to come to salvation is to come to the person of Jesus Christ, and to come to Jesus is to know him, and know him through the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit, and precisely to know him, that he is Christ and that he's Lord. That's where we ended last week, I believe, the proclamation of St. Peter on the day of Pentecost. Takes me back to Luke chapter 24, where Jesus appeared to the apostles. In Luke's account, the first time he met with all the apostles after his resurrection, and they're shocked to see him. It's an amazing section. I encourage you to read that chapter as Jesus reveals himself as risen from the dead to the apostles and their reaction and what he wants to teach them in that crucial moment. And what he teaches them is that everything that happened to him went according to the Father's plan. It wasn't plan B, it wasn't a mistake, but it was what Jesus came to do. He came to die for our sins. He said that it's the fulfillment of all the anticipation of the people of Israel through God's plan and purpose, through the prophets and the rest. Jesus comes to fulfill it. And he said the Messiah must die, must suffer, die, and rise again. It's fundamental. He said, for this purpose, so that repentance and forgiveness of sins can be preached throughout the whole world, beginning in Jerusalem. Jesus is helping the apostles understand with great clarity what was all this about. Why did I freely say yes? Why did I go to the cross? Why was I willing to die? He became a sacrifice for us. And he became a sacrifice for our sin so that there was an answer to the sin problem. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Scripture says, right? Every human being is subject to sin, is battling with sin, is under the reign and the power of sin, and because of sin, is separated from God. And that separation needs to be fixed. Jesus came to die through the shedding of his precious, pure, and holy blood, through that act of love by which all of us are saved. Jesus is offering himself in love to the Father. Not only does he himself become a sacrifice, a lamb that is slain for our sin, but he shows us in that moment what it means to live a fulfilled human life, what it means to be successful. The true definition of success is right there on the cross. Ironically, the world will never see it that way. He looks like a failed Messiah, bleeding, humiliated, abandoned, forgotten. But it's an absolute eternal revelation to all of us that human fulfillment, that reaching our capacity of, as human beings, as, you know, finding our purpose. Lots of people today talk about purpose and finding our purpose so we can live a fulfilled life. Well, Jesus from the cross is speaking to us about what fulfillment looks like. It's fulfillment because it's love. And it's not just generic kind of love that, you know, hear sung about on the radio. It's the love of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, for his Father. It's a human, he took on human flesh so he could show us the destiny and the fulfillment and the purpose of what human life is meant to be. A fulfilled human being, you might say literally a perfected human being, is one who dies radically surrendered in love to God the Father, entrusting one's life to him. And what Jesus will talk about in John's gospel and other places, he makes very clear that it's a love that's expressed in obedience to God's commandments. It's a trust that said, these commandments are life for me. The commandments of God are good. They're not burdensome. They don't lead me to slavery. They don't oppress me. I don't have to compete against God or throw off God's command in order to be free or to be happy or to reach fulfillment. In fact, right there, Jesus is saying, I promise you, this is where freedom, happiness, fulfillment is found. Why? Because that's what you're made for. You're made for love. And the human heart is trapped in sin. And sin is rebellion against that love, rebellion against the complete trust and surrender to God, as our Father. So as I was thinking about this somewhat over the weekend, listening to some of these testimonies, in particular of Dr. Tour, he's describing at one point as a college student, knowing nothing at all about Jesus, knowing nothing about Christianity other than having been told by family and friends that the New Testament is really a book written by anti-Semites, you might say, people who don't like the Jews, people who persecuted the Jews. And that was very clear from his upbringing, he shouldn't mess around with it, he should just stay away from it. He said he was talking to a student in the dorms who talked about the reality of being born again. And he said he was kind of captivated by that. It was very unusual, he said, that term. What does it mean? He kept asking himself later, what does it mean to be born again? And he had a conversation in the dorm in the laundry room while he's doing his laundry with a classmate who described to him what it means and why Jesus came. And he drew this simple little diagram of, you know, two cliffs and with a big cavern in between the two. And you can't get from one side to the other. And Jesus is on one side, or God's on one side, and this person is on the other side. And the only way to get across to God the Father is the cross of Jesus Christ, is a bridge, the person of Christ. And he said, what is separating you from God? He just explained it to him, is sin. And it was interesting, the response this young Jewish man made. He said, yeah, but I don't know how that applies to me because I'm not a sinner. He said, I don't sin. And in fact, we didn't, growing up, we never even really talked about it at home. And anyway, he said, I'm a good person, so I don't really need this. And then this young man, his classmate, read him the Bible passage from Romans that said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It was really that simple. And he said, all have sinned. And he's still kind of struggling with it. And then this young guy read him one more passage that said, for example, just to give an example of what sin is, because this young Jewish guy didn't really grasp what sin meant and how sin is present in the human heart. And his friend read to him the passage where Jesus said that even if a man lusts in his heart after a woman, he's committed adultery with her, that he's violated one of the commandments. And this young Jewish man described, he said he felt like it was a punch in the gut or a punch in the chest, he said, I think that. He said a word that was written 2,000 years ago read his life. And what he went on to say and share in the testimony, which you can hear, I'd encourage you to look it up on YouTube. It's really worth hearing. It's a beautiful testimony. He said he had become, way back then, he's probably in his 60s right now, again, a very prominent world-class scientist, an astounding degree of accomplishments he's had in his life. But he said that he was, at that time in his life, trapped in pornography. And his life was filled with lust, and he didn't understand the enslavement in his own heart, why he was doing it. And it began the process for him, and he came to, and this student, just another college student, help him understand the reality of what sin is and that he was a sinner. He said, I had to admit that to myself, that I indeed was a sinner and that I needed help and that I could not overcome it by myself. And somehow I did find myself as a result, he said, not being in right relationship with God. And he goes on to talk about how he received Jesus into his heart, how he made a decision to follow Christ. And I don't know his whole story, but you can find places on YouTube where he defends faith in the current culture, where he said there's no conflict between faith and reason, and he's vitally living his faith, and he's been living, raising his children in that way. But the bottom line is he came to see something that is so fundamental, and it's easy to overlook, but it's so central, and we see that in the conversation that Jesus had in Luke chapter 24 with the apostles, and how he told them, this is what it's all about. My dying, my commissioning you, and my clothing you with the power of the Holy Spirit is for this purpose, that you would bring repentance and forgiveness of sins, that you would proclaim what I've done on the cross, and that I've come to offer salvation. I've come to take away sin so that people can be united with my Father in the way that I'm united with my Father, so I can give to people everything that's mine. This is the reason, friends, Jesus is the only Savior of the world. And why Peter then, in Acts chapter 2, after having been clothed with power, goes forward, the first pope preaching the first public homily, right? What does he do? He declares, he does just exactly what Jesus said to do. He proclaimed the reality of the good news of Jesus, that he died on a cross, that he was God's son, that he was raised from the dead, that death could not hold him down, and the purpose for all of it was that repentance and forgiveness of sins could be brought to all those who were hearing Peter. And who were the people that day on the day of Pentecost that were listening to Peter? They were representatives from the 12 tribes of Israel. They were Jewish people that had gathered in Jerusalem. Jesus said this preaching would begin in Jerusalem and then would go to the nations. And what Peter declared so beautifully, and what the climax of his proclamation there was, what he said to them, he said, now listen, all of you, all people of every tribe and nation, listen, what we're telling you is that this Jesus, who died on a cross, Mary's son, was raised from the dead, and now the Father has exalted him. He's lifted him up, and he's at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, and he's seated on the throne of heaven, and he's been given the Holy Spirit, and God the Father has made him and declared him Lord and Messiah, or Lord and Christ. Christ is another word for Messiah. What does Messiah mean? Messiah means to be anointed, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the one. And this is how Jesus Christ as Lord breaks down. The name Jesus means what? Means Savior. Jesus is the Savior of the world. He's the one, the only one, who's died for our sins and can take away sin. Jesus is the Christ. He's the only one that's filled with the Holy Spirit and is now the source from which we receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus has been enthroned. He's the firstborn, one of us, at the right hand of the Father, and the Father has given over to him the promised Holy Spirit. And Jesus said he will clothe us with power in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is the one who pours out the Holy Spirit so that we can have the life of God in us. And that's possible because he purified us with his blood. Finally, Jesus is the Lord. All power and authority in heaven and on earth belong to Jesus. And Jesus is exercising that authority to bring human beings made in the image of God back to God the Father, to bring them to share in what Jesus shares in his relationship with the Father, that he's son, and that the Father has made us so that we could be in his family, and sin has separated us and the world, the flesh, and the devil. So Jesus Christ is the Lord. He's the Savior. He's the Christ, he's the Lord. And every knee one day, friends, will bend to confess this truth. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and he's the final judge of the living and the dead. And that he's now, through the church, bringing his message of mercy to save people from eternal separation from God, from hell, but to come and live in his family forever, under the lordship and authority of Jesus. And so it's allowing Jesus literally to be our Savior. I'll take this up again tomorrow. Hope you can join me. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.